Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio. Dana Schwartz is the second member of the Beta Three Timers Club. This is a club that expresses our appreciation for guests making their third appearance on our show. Since she last joined us, Dana's podcast, Noble Blood, about some of history's most tragic stories, has blown up. History is still on her mind. Her young adult novel, Anatomy, a love story, is a Shelley-esque nod to gothic tales, complete with grave robbing and shady medicine. The story is set in Edinburgh, Scotland, in the early 1800s, during the infancy of medical history. Hazel Sinnott is an independent young woman who yearns to be a surgeon but runs up against the sexism of the era. We caught up with Dana and she told us why she wanted to write Anatomy.
You know, I've been fascinated with sort of the macabre side of medical history my entire life, just the dawn of pre-anesthesia surgery and how kind of gruesome it was. But there's also this something sort of romantic about the Enlightenment side of it and the dawn of modern scientific reason coming to the forefront. So I've always sort of had that churning around in the back of my mind. And when I was 22, I went to Edinburgh for the first time. As an American, I feel like it was exactly what I had always envisioned of a European city, that castle on a hill and these cobblestone streets. And so I had those pieces rattling around in my brain for a long time. And then Anatomy was just the book that I was desperate to write.
How much of an influence was your history podcast, Noble Blood, on Anatomy?
You know, a fairly big influence, even though Noble Blood is all true and all fully researched and is only about Noble, so I haven't really talked about any of the surgical figures that I had to research for this book. But I will say, over the 2+ years of writing scripts for Noble Blood, I got very confident at writing in a period. And I think I wouldn't have been as comfortable writing in the early 1800s had I not already had a lot of practice doing it. Noble Blood, even though it wasn't a direct influence in terms of research, gave me that boost of confidence. And I think probably was a good transition in terms of the sort of public persona I put out as a writer. Like, in my head, I've always been sort of this spooky historical writer, because that's always the things that I'm interested in. But I think that maybe audiences might have been expecting something funnier or snarkier. And so I think Noble Blood was a good halfway point of people to realize that I'm really interested in history and writing things that aren't necessarily Twitter ready.
Mm, yeah, very well said. Yeah. Anatomy is being marketed as a young adult novel. And as an old adult, I have to say that I really enjoyed reading it. When you started writing it, did you feel like you were writing a novel for young people?
You know, that's so funny that you say that, because I do really feel like things that are quote unquote young adult novels really become something of marketing decisions. I found that the young adult market at this point in time is more willing to accept books that are mixes of genre without it being sort of relegated to the science fiction fantasy section of a bookstore. I always wanted Anatomy to be a little gory and a little science fiction-y in the way that Frankenstein was. And I found that young adult publishing was just a place where readers were willing to accept that. It's so funny that you say that, because I've been doing virtual events for this book to promote it. And in one, I had a Q&A where someone asked me whether I would ever write an adult version of Anatomy. And I was like, this is the adult version. I just wrote it exactly the way I wanted to write it. And the reason I think it's a young adult book is because it's about a person who's 17, who's at the precipice of the rest of their lives. And I'm very always heartened when adults are willing to recognize that just because something is called a young adult novel doesn't mean that it's only for young adults.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Your protagonist is Hazel Sinnott, who is living in Edinburgh, Scotland in 1817. You've created a strong, independent woman who is really a pioneer of feminism. How did you develop the character?
You know, I really wanted to make Hazel feel like a woman of her time. Even though she is a strong woman who's more ambitious and pursuing a path that wouldn't have been considered socially acceptable for a woman at the time, it was really important to me that she still feel very grounded and not like a 2022-year like protagonist who had just been dropped into the 1800s. So I sort of had to work backwards. I was like, what type of girl who existed in this era would be able to sort of see herself as a surgeon when she doesn't really have role models? And so I worked backwards thinking, all right, this is someone who sort of sees marriage as a foregone conclusion. She's been, you know, engaged to her cousin her entire life. She just doesn't really see the necessity of finding a husband. She's someone who's incredibly privileged because she grew up wealthy. And she's also someone who grew up very isolated. Her mother sort of became a little reclusive after the death of her older brother, and her father's gone. And so Hazel sort of has grown up very lonely and isolated. And so she has this sort of the naivete that comes from privilege, where she sort of thinks like, well, yeah, of course, why couldn't I do these things that I want to do? Because she hasn't had like the reinforcement of society knocking her down again and again.
Yeah, yeah. Your other main character is Jack Currer, and he's a resurrection man. What is a resurrection man?
So this is a very real job that existed at the dawn of the 1800s. This was a period where there was no system of donating one's body to science, and it was considered, you know, very sacrilegious to desecrate a corpse. And so no one was going to willingly have their body dissected by doctors. But this was the dawn of Enlightenment era science, when doctors needed to learn about the human body through dissection and study. And so an incredibly lucrative profession sprung up of people called resurrectionists or resurrection men, who dug up dead bodies and sold them to doctors who could dissect and study them. And so whereas Hazel is a character who is incredibly privileged and naive because of it, Jack is the opposite side of that. He's someone who has only existed as having already fallen through the cracks and understands the challenges of reality in a way that Hazel doesn't yet. And so they have a little bit of this uneasy alliance and partnership when he's able to teach Hazel how to get bodies and she's able to pay him. And then it, I don't think it's a spoiler to say, blooms into a little bit of a romance.
Yeah, yeah. There's an epidemic of Roman fever running rampant in anatomy. It's killed thousands of people. And I couldn't help but think of the coronavirus while reading your book. Was the pandemic on your mind while you were writing?
Oh, gosh. If you could imagine, I conceived of and began writing this book in 2019, before we had even heard of coronavirus, because I wanted to basically write about cholera and diphtheria. There were, if you can imagine, a number of illnesses and diseases going around in the 1800s in Scotland, but I wanted to condense and fictionalize them all into sort of one dramatic disease for dramatic purposes, because I think having the specter of one illness is more dramatic than the thought of, well, it could be typhus, it could be cholera, it could be diphtheria or a number of other things. But no, it was a very strange experience to be writing about sort of the fear and loneliness of a pandemic that hit rich people and poor people, and then have an actual pandemic hit us in a way that I absolutely could not have expected.
Mm-hmm. And I read somewhere that you, in the original version, the original draft of the novel, you had a character who was selling a cure for the plague that turned out to be a sham.
Yes, that was actually one of the first changes I made because of the real coronavirus and because of real people who believe the conspiracy theories and are hesitant to get vaccines that are proven safe and effective by actual scientists. I had a character who was something of a snake oil salesman and revealing that they were willing to continue to sell this cure even though it had detrimental effects. And I removed that from the book because I didn't want, my worst nightmare would be someone thinking that I was sending any message that I didn't believe actual modern day science and scientists, when I am a huge fan and supporter of science. And I was trying to point out or make fun of the people who profit without scientific reason But no, that was a thing that I did change because I didn't want people to think this was a political point that I was making.
Mm-hmm. You covered this a bit earlier, but I want to dig a little deeper, if no pun intended, about the early history of medical history and surgery that you find so fascinating. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah. So this was an era, if you can imagine, before anesthesia, when doctors had just sort of crossed the precipice of understanding really how the human body works in an empirical way. And Edinburgh was the heart and center of that enlightenment dawn of surgery. There were professors teaching, well, surgeons really, who would be doing surgery in basically amphitheaters with audiences, people desperate to see inside human bodies and learn how people worked. And I think it's just incredibly fascinating to imagine a period where the inner working of the human body was the frontier of science. In order to research this book, I did a lot of research on the surgeon Robert Lister, who was a surgeon in Scotland around that time. And he was one of the biggest inspirations for both Hazel's early experience, but also the character of Dr. Beecham in the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you must have done a lot of research, right? You must have spent a lot of time researching.
Yeah, I researched Dr. Lister, who's the father of modern antiseptic technology, Dr. Liston, who was considered one of the fastest and most bombastic surgeons of the era, and Dr. Mutter, who actually is an American surgeon who studied in Paris, not Edinburgh, but who opened the Mutter Museum in Philadelphia. So if anyone is listening and has been to the Mutter Museum in Philadelphia, it's sort of his treasure trove of strange and grotesque body parts that he collected over his long career. I think from working so much on the Noble Blood podcast, I've gotten really a love for historical research. But the fun thing about anatomy is, because it is a novel and it's fictional, you know, I took what I wanted and fictionalized what I wanted to be a little more dramatic.
Mm-hmm. You really stuck the landing with the ending of Anatomy. It's very powerful, and I did not see it coming. I'm always curious about this. Did you know what the ending was before you started writing, or did it come to you as you were writing?
I did. I had this idea inspired by Frankenstein, the idea of putting together a human body and what that technology would look like. Basically, if Frankenstein technology existed and was real, what other applications could it have, and how might someone have discovered it in a different way with a different goal? And I did have the ending, and then it was a fun journey getting there. I always wanted it to be a twist, and I always wanted Hazel and Jack to end the way that they ended.
Mm. Reese Witherspoon chose Anatomy for her YA book club, and that makes me wonder if there might be a streaming or a film adaptation in the works. Is that a possibility?
I hope so. I mean, I've had some experience writing for television, and I would love the chance to turn Anatomy into a television show or film. I think it was a very fun world to write in, and a very fun period and setting for me, and I think it would translate really well to the screen.
I think so, too, and it's very cinematic, and the way you write, you have a lot of descriptions, so it's very cinematic, so you can just really imagine it as a film as you're reading it. Dana Schwartz, thank you very much for joining us today, and congratulations on Anatomy, a Love Story. It's always great to talk to you.
Thank you so much. This is such a pleasure.
Dana Schwartz is the author of the novel Anatomy, a Love Story. Find out more about Dana and her novel at wpr.org/beta.
And it was this period of almost every day there was a report of a new shooting. I had set up a Google Alerts at one point to try to keep track of things, and it started flooding my email box.
Coming up, Jason Mott joins us to talk about his novel, Hell of a Book, the winner of the National Book Award for Fiction. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.